Woo-woo-woo! So you guys may or may not know this, but we do our NFL picks against the spread every week, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The four of us on this show,
right?
Al and I, Emily and Jorge, and we keep a running total throughout the season.
Okay.
Who's winning?
Emily won.
So she won the regular season.
It's through the regular season, right? The end of the regular season. Emily won, and the prize was whoever wins gets to pick a lunch or dinner destination, and the
wherever
other three will split the bill.
Oh,
and
got
they,
it.
They okay. Okay. And it's over. Emily won it.
Yeah, she won. She won the regular season. That's
Has
where
she
we
chosen
ended.
A spot yet?
She just did.
Nobu?
That's
a good pick.
I was thinking Nobu, Mastro.
Wait. Right. Very close, would you say? Nobu known for, they have a specific, this is what they're known for.
Sure.
All right. Sushi. Yeah, what do you,
Mastro's known for their steak.
Big steak.
Yeah. What'd you pick, Em?
Well, I consider this team a family, and I went to a place where we're all considered family.
Oh, no. Is it
so I chose Olive Garden.
Olive Garden.
This is a fail of epic proportions.
Olive Garden. Now, I'll be the first one to say, unlimited breadsticks, unlimited salad, pretty good feature.
Unlimited soup, Mace.
But when Italian? It comes to the actual Italian food, it is not good Italian food.
Oh, you stop right there.
It's not. My grandmother was like, she was so offended one time she went to Olive. It's like she was an Italian.
Yes.
Italians don't believe in Olive
People
Garden.
People from Sicily
I will
fly
not
here
besmirch
for their food.
Olive Garden, but you could have gone way up in class.
I was already thinking, okay, what am I going to have to cut back in the rest
Coco's.
Of my life? Like, what
Coco's.
Am I going to have to do to get through this? Olive Garden.
Yeah, Olive Garden. That's easy.
Well, there is one right next to my house. If you go to that one, I'll crash your dinner and pay for part of it.
No, we're going lunch.
She's
the
already
lunch
picked
specials.
The specific Olive Garden.
Which city?
Mid-Wilshire.
Okay. So it's in Mid-Wilshire. Yeah. It's all glass. So it's like a glass Olive Garden.
She wants people
with
to gaze upon her as we
right.
dine
we can
at
all
Olive
see
Garden.
Each other.
But think about all the places that she could have gone to Craig's. She could have gone to Nobu.
Yeah.
She could have gone to Crustacean.
Yeah, sure.
Which is in the heart of Beverly Hills and super expensive.
Yeah, but she took all
I think
Garden.
There's still a Spago in Beverly Hills
yes,
somewhere.
Yes, sure is. I'll tell you the story. My mom.
Boa. There's an
overpriced steakhouse.
Yeah, there's an overpriced steakhouse in Manhattan Beach that would have cost you guys $200 each.
Yeah. So my mom
Glad
loves Olive Garden.
I think with John.
Does everybody's mom like Olive Garden? It's kind of like a.
My mom does not.
She does not. Okay,
my mom
likes
particular.
It for the breadsticks and the salad.
Okay.
And I was at Olive Garden one time with my mom, where I caught her putting breadsticks
in
her
purse.
That's a Michael Thompson move.
It's like yeah. these
my
are,
sister's done that.
These yeah. are delicious.
Do you speak up in this? Particular instance.
What am I supposed to say?
No, come Mace, on. Mace, let her be.
It's a breadstick.
Let her be.
Right, I'll buy you as many as you want.
You get all the breadsticks.
So the other night at Crypto, when was our last game? Sleep 2 days ago?
Yeah.
On Tuesday?
It's every other day, the whole month.
They had kind of a taco set. It was more like fajitas. They had like flour tortillas, and then they had a bin full of chicken and a bin full of steak. Mm-hmm. And so I'm walking over to the game. And as I'm walking in, Michael is walking out with 5 or 6 plates. And I said, where are you going? He goes, I'm going to put this food in my car for later.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
This is before the media game? Food. Yeah.
It's only media food.
Well, listen.
And yeah. Does he know? I mean, he's here. We'll let him defend himself when he comes in. But I'm like, media food's going to keep for 5, 6 hours till you get home?
Can I defend Michael?
Yeah.
Can I defend Michael on this? Let me defend him. Okay. The man doesn't eat before the games.
Correct.
So he is always kind of thinking to himself, all right, well, if I'm not going to eat before the game, he still wants to enjoy in the top-notch crypto.com media food.
Sure.
Right.
So does he not understand that food's probably from 3 Kings games ago?
And
I was going to say Clippers. But
yeah, I mean, come on.
The specific food that if this were – peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, fine.
Oh, he takes those too.
Oh, those Crustables, I walk out with those.
I love those too, but if you, fajitas are, let me think,
they got a shelf life.
They're fragrant. It's onions, it's peppers,
so
it's
I love
meat.
And
his
they
car
were sitting
like
so
a Chili's.
He put him in his car at 6 o'clock and didn't get back in his car until 11
By
o'clock.
By the way, and Mr.
And home at midnight.
And Mr.
All right.
Sanitation, okay, Mr. I be careful.
Yeah, Michael,
that's
it's very
filthy.
Unlike you. You're normally a neatnik. What was up with that?
Because you guys don't understand how refrigeration works. You got to remember, the other day it was like 40 degrees in the loading dock, right?
Right,
so
cold.
So I put the food in my car. It was like sitting in the fridge.
What about the smell?
Yes. Well, it smells delicious. Michael, I couldn't wait to get home.
When did you eat it?
Oh, as soon as I got home, I put it in the microwave and heated everything up. The fajitas, what do you call it? The little things you roll up?
The tortillas.
Throw some rice and chicken and all the onions and peppers and
okay,
all
so,
that.
Okay, so now, did your car still smell like fajitas?
Of course it does.
Michael, I guarantee you it does.
You're Mr. Sanitary, right?
Right.
You're taking food off a buffet, sticking it into your car and eating it later. Now, what's sanitary about that? You're actually traveling.
He's the only one who touched
a buffet.
I'm the only one who touched it. It's in the,
that's
it's in
not
the
true.
But isn't everybody
that's
reaching not, yeah. into the thing and
you're,
grabbing
you're
the stuff?
Trusting
oh,
that,
with spoons.
Well, hold on. You're trusting that every other person that touched that spoon, that touched the food, was very deliberate, careful, and sanitary
oh, yeah,
doing
I
it.
I watched. I was there.
No, not a chance.
So and I all,
one scumbag maniac gets their hand on that spoon, and it's a wrap.
Still, me and Doug Mann, always the first ones in the Chick Hearn Media Center. So
right.
when the food is out, we're always the first ones to get in line. So nobody else touched the food before us.
Somebody made it. Somebody put it out there. There's a lot of people that touch that food.
Who touches rice and who touches cut up chicken and stuff? Nobody
the people
does
that.
That
make it.
Does, no. I forget. Does the media room have a spit like a guard or a snap
a sneeze guard?
No. What do they call that?
No. Sneeze guard.
It has no sneeze guard.
No, the media room is basically it been it's cut. I would say it's cut in half. Free it's ball. Been cut into like one third the size of what it used
not even a sneeze guard on the buffet.
Yeah, but there's covers on it, so you have to lift the covers up to take the food every time.
That people touch, that you touch, there's a lot of...
Michael. No, it's sanitary. Plus, I put it in the microwave and killing me germs.
Michael, I'm going to eat it. I'm not complaining that you ate it. I just, knowing you, the way that we know you and your...
Prepared by Chef Bill. That, right?
No, I just make sure that anybody...
Chef Bill had game.
I just make sure anybody's making a burger or a sandwich, Mace, has sanitary gloves on.
This is how much we... Chef Bill was the chef that Michael hired at his party.
Oh, yeah. Chef Bill's a great guy.
And Michael and I liked it so much that we went to the Lakers and said, find a way to use this guy. Mm. And Sam Tubman, our chief of staff, met with him, zoomed with him for 45 minutes. She goes, I'm going to give his name to every player. We'll use him when we go on the road sometimes. So we are, thanks to Michael, we're gonna make Chef Bill a big NBA star.
I was eating paella for a week after I left your house. You sent me home with more paella than I thought
I could eat. That was all Chef Bill.
Turns out I can eat a lot.
I love paella. Just don't put any octopus in it.
Oh, octopus is delicious.
Absolutely.
Wait, a little charred octopus.
Yeah. Don't other Bahamians eat octopus?
No, we don't eat any octopus in the Bahamas. We got real fish. Right, Travis.
What constitutes a real fish?
Grouper, tuna, that's real fish. Like octopus and all those tentacles look like eating a giant spider.
They're pretty delicious, Michael. Grilled with a little lemon.
Oh, a little lemon? What about squid?
No,
are you okay?
Squid.
Oh, not
squid.
Even like also a fried calamari?
Calamari, octopus, I ain't into that. I'll just stick with the conch.
You know what I heard? I heard octopuses are very smart.
Yes.
And octopi. There's a documentary that shows you how smart octopi are. Mm-hmm. And I have friends that saw it who say they will no longer eat octopus. Because
I've heard
apparently
the
they have personalities.
The
Yeah, they're emotionally intelligent. All this kind of stuff. And so people, friends of mine who saw the documentary say, don't eat, they won't eat it.
Had they tried it with on the grill with lemon.
A little lemon, and that may turn them.
It's
a nice...
Yeah. All right, tell me how you guys would have handled this. I was at a golf course the other day, and my tee time was coming up. I was late, and I was at the driving range, and I walked back to my golf cart, and there are two skunks sniffing around my golf cart looking for food. Now, I didn't have any food in there, so I knew they weren't going to find me, but I had to get in. I had to go. What do you do there?
Wait it out.
Lead them to Michael's car for the fajitas.
Throw a rock.
If you throw a rock, they're going to spray.
No, that's what I was afraid of, too. So you know what I did?
Yeah.
I took a golf ball, and I didn't throw it at them, but I threw it over them, like behind them, and they ran.
Okay, they did not spray?
They did not spray.
That's a good call.
And I was not... Even if they did spray, I was far enough away where...
But see, that's the thing. The blast radius, so to speak, of a skunk
is... I was probably
is
25 feet away.
Not nearly far enough.
Really?
Wow.
Not nearly far enough.
Really?
I got a story for you.
Okay.
So, Murphy, my dog that lost the toe from the vet.
Yep.
We've talked about...
Yeah, I know of a dog named Murphy.
Yeah. So, I was in college. My brother was home alone. My mom and dad were on a trip somewhere. My brother goes to let the dog out the back door of the house to go use the bathroom before he locks up the house for the night. The dog's bowl is on the back porch of the house. Opens the door. There's a skunk eating out of the bowl.
Mm.
Okay? The dog kind of freezes, and the skunk blasts him.
Oh, so you had to give him the tomato juice
bath? The dog freaks out. freaks out, like goes crazy, turns, does a 180, runs right back into the house. He was from me to you, John, when he got sprayed, right?
Yeah.
The house.
Smelled like skunk for a couple of weeks?
Months.
Oh, really?
Months.
Really?
We had the carpets clean. We replaced the furniture. Oh, we did all these things.
Wow.
You can't get it out. There is no getting through it. My brother, like I said, my folks were gone. My brother goes to school the next morning. He's in high school.
So, Trev, I know you
the
have
the teachers sent him home.
Because he smelled too
he
much
couldn't
like
get
smell.
It off. He couldn't skunky? Get it off okay. of himself.
So, Trev, I know how you're like me. You love golf. The first tee is a very birdieable par 5. Okay? It's one of my only shots at birdie. Now that you know that, if your tee time is in 3 minutes,
had I not
you
had
know
it.
Your group is going off on time and you have two skunks at your card, how do you play?
Were you at a place that you play frequently?
Your
spot? Okay.
I'm
skipping. You're going to be back in a couple of days.
You're going to play the second hole?
John, my house smelled like a skunkatorium for 2 months. You would not come to work
and
for a couple of days.
And there were two skunks, too. Yeah. They were like...
It sounds adorable, two skunks. Sounds like a cartoon.
Two skunks walking
who's
to a
the,
bar.
Who's the cartoon skunk?
Pepe Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew. Yeah.
I believe that cartoon has been canceled.
Has it?
I think so.
Oh, everything's been canceled.
That
of course it's been canceled.
Problematic.
What's the cancelable part
because
of that? Oh, right. Because he was very aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Oh, that's right. He was a cad.
No, that's
he was,
really out of
And he was
style.
A French skunk that
was
would not take no
man.
For an answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So
Mace, how are you feeling about Sunday? Feeling good here? Feeling
so
better?
He's overconfident.
I feel so good. I cannot wait to reach in and just tear their hearts out.
See, I told you.
Trav is already nervous
there is
now.
Not,
by
don't
that,
be nervous.
By
there
that.
Is
no,
not any part of Steve Mason that believes the Lions can win this game.
Nope.
You know you're the Zero. Ultimate cooler, right?
No, I'm not the ultimate. Who was at the Super Bowl when they won?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, I was.
All right.
He's
supreme confidence makes me very nervous.
The truth is, Mason. You know, Mason went through a streak years ago where he was.
Yeah, there was
he
a
was
bad
kind
streak.
Of cooler, but that's all been corrected.
Okay.
He was at the Rams Super Bowl win. He was at the Dodgers thing in Texas when they won.
I was at the MLS Championship game LAFC won.
All right.
He's definitely not.
I'm
the
on
problem.
A roll. Actually, I feel good about Sunday night.
I'm a believer in aggravating sports gods and
who's
unbridled.
Who's the most pressure on? Who's got the most pressure?
Jared Goff.
Yeah, Jared Goff. Oh, yeah. No, how do you think he? How is he? Handled pressure over the years.
Less than perfectly.
Thank you. Rip their hearts out.
I did. Here's what I did like. Hmm. When he said, I got that chip on my shoulder. It's never going away. I'm like, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. That's in the
psyche.
The brain, that's knocking around in
that
there.
Yeah.
That it's not.
It's
hey, listen,
just not another game.
This isn't just me against Sean McVay. This is my team against that team. That's it. That's all I got to worry about. That chip, that's never going away. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
I did like that.
Oh, we found
this. Oh,
the
we found this.
Lions
have you heard this?
Song.
Is this Campbell?
No. This is their actual fight song. Hang on. Wait for it. It's that roar.
It's not as good as Ram It that they play at every.
It is not. Wow. It is not as good as San Diego Superchargers.
No,
it
is
not.
Just
Ram It.
Good. Yeah, just.
Wait,
and
until you've seen
game.
Nolan,
have you seen
that?
You've seen the video. You know who the star of that video is?
Nolan Cromwell.
No. This the guy who gets the most into it and is dancing like a fool, is David Hill, who is Jim Hill's younger brother.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Who played tight end for the Rams on that team.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Ram it, Mace.
Ram it. Let's go.
Super Crosstalk's brought to you by In-N-Out. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good afternoon.
So, no, Mason did not pull a Mason. Mason's going for a grinder.
That's Morales.
Oh, God, he's
stirring the pot.
Trolling me.
That's your choice to introduce us for the Southern California Sports Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
When is that again?
The guy who loves to push your buttons.
February something or other.
February something or other. I'll be there.
Be there.
It's actually down the street from my house, so I will
be there. Oh, there you go. And Morales is going to be the inductor or the introductory person, the presenter. And the reason I wanted Morales, and, you know, we goof around a lot, and, you know, he's a bad guy. But he also understands the history of Los Angeles radio. And that's why I thought he would be able to put our run into some kind of perspective. Now, I'm sure he'll do some kind of D-bag move in the middle of it. But
I did not know this is where you're going to go, but Chris is a good example of something I want to talk about today.
Okay.
And that is, every once in a while, somebody is set up in life from the time they're a little kid to do something great. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Chris Morales was the son of a radio icon.
Did you just compare Chris Morales to Kobe Bryant?
And I'm going to compare him to Bill Belichick. Because today, Bill Belichick basically parted ways with New England.
Right.
And I was trying to think of, okay, there's nobody with his resume. There's nobody with Belichick's resume. But what he did have was, Sean McVay's like this. When Sean McVay was a little kid, he was close with his grandfather, John, who ran the 49ers during the Bill Walsh dynasty years.
Yep.
And so, in a lot of ways, Sean was groomed for the job he's doing now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the comp to Morales. In a lot of ways, Chris was groomed his whole life to be in radio like he is now. And Bill Belichick, the reason he was so successful, his dad was a coach.
Right.
And his dad coached, I think he coached at one of the service academies. I think he coached at Army or Navy or one of those places. And so Bill's been watching film since he was a little kid.
He grew up in coaching.
And then you've got all these videos running today of, like, Bill as a young guy coaching Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, who's arguably the greatest defensive player ever to play in the league. And what I'm feeling today, after Pete Carroll and Nick Saban yesterday, and now Bill Belichick today, I mean, those are three giants in the coaching profession. I kind of feel like something died. I feel like we're attending a memorial service for this era of guys who were kind of lifers. Like, Pete Carroll's never had another job other than football coach.
But here's the thing. Like, with Saban, he's clearly just walking away on his own terms. He's not being forced out. It sounds like he hates the whole NIL thing and the whole collective thing and doesn't want to deal with free agency through the portal and all that stuff. So he's walking away on his own terms. Watching Belichick today.
Definitely not done.
Not done.
Totally agree.
Listening to Pete Carroll yesterday. Definitely not done.
And I was trying to think of, you know, the Chargers will probably screw this up.
Yes, they will.
But.
Call your friends over there.
Brian, your team has three can't miss options for this coaching hire. They can hire Jim Harbaugh, which is the home run. They can hire Pete Carroll, which in a lot of ways is a home run in a different style. And now they could hire Bill Belichick if they wanted to. And it would give them instant credibility.
So, little Charger boy, who do you want?
I'll take Pete.
But you would take any of the three, right?
I would love any of the three.
And what makes me think that they won't get any of them? I mean, they got
Dean Spanos.
Right? They got the Chargers three are gonna charge him. Options.
Dean Spanos.
You think he's? I mean, come on! It's right there. It's fish in a barrel. I mean, just shoot.
If it's not one of those three, it's going to be somebody who's never been a head coach before.
Yeah, right. A training job. Now I will say that I've appreciated all of the coverage of Bill Belichick and obviously legendary career. And I think he's, what, 9 wins short of the all-time record or whatever number that is.
I think it's 13. 16.
Yeah, 16. So he's right in the ball. And I'm guessing he's going to get another job. I wouldn't want Bill Belichick as my head coach.
Well, you are a Rams fan. You don't need him.
No. I'm saying if I was – If I was the owner of, I don't know, who's got
the
an
Raiders.
Open job
would
right
you
now?
Want the Raiders.
I
would.
You would want him.
Belichick?
Even though McDaniels flamed out.
Over Antonio Pierce?
Wait a minute. The guy is 29-38 since Tom Brady left. 29-38 since Tom Brady left. That's the number I would focus on.
What was the number before Tom Brady? It's not great there either.
Well, he got fired as the coach of the
I mean, back then. Yeah.
This is certainly an argument. I mean, Bill Belichick definitely didn't want to leave. I mean, you can tell this was
no question.
This was Bob Kraft saying,
"Thank you
much. I gave you 3 years to fix it since Brady left, and it's gotten worse every year."
Yep.
And this year we're 4-13.
So if it's getting worse every year, why is Bill Belichick a hot commodity on the market for head coaching?
Because as Adam Schefter said today, every owner in the NFL is now asking the question. Okay, here comes Michael. Every owner in the NFL is now asking the question,
mm-hmm.
Would I be better off with who I have now or Bill Belichick? And in a lot of cases, the answer is Belichick. A lot of guys in the league can't coach.
Right.
They're bad.
But
at
even
this
though
job.
He's 29-38 in the last 4 years.
So if you're an Arizona Cardinals fan, I don't even know who that guy is. Would you rather have Bill Belichick? I would. If you're Dallas, if you have Mike McCarthy, who's good, Michael, wouldn't you rather have Bill Belichick than Mike McCarthy?
It's crazy to say, but I kind of think I'm agreeing with Mace here.
You wouldn't hire him.
He did nothing before Brady, nothing after Brady. It was all Brady.
Yeah,
but
it was all Brady.
What happened when he ran the defense for the Giants and they won 2 Super Bowls?
That was Parcells. And he had Lawrence Taylor and them guys.
Yeah, you always say Parcells was the defensive head coach, so wasn't he really the guy that was running the defense?
But Parcells has a good coaching tree.
If he was a great coach, as great as we think he is, or you say he is, wouldn't he be contending for the playoffs every year? Not to win a Super Bowl, but at least in the playoff picture without Brady?
Michael, there's never been a coach who's been to 10 Super Bowls other than him.
And who did he have during those 10 Super Bowls?
So you give Brady all the credit and Belichick none?
Well, look at the results.
I always did.
Tom Brady left, went to Tampa, won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Tom Brady was the secret.
If I'm a Charger fan, I want one of those three guys.
Well, I want two of those three.
After Michael Jackson, Phil Jackson kept winning. After Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
After
yeah.
Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson kept winning. After Magic Johnson, Pat Riley kept winning. After Tom Brady.
But Dr. Buss parted ways with Pat Riley.
And then Riley went someplace else and won.
Right.
So I'm saying, why wouldn't Bill Belichick go someplace else and win?
Well, if you can find a Tom Brady, I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
Well, isn't Justin Herbert kind of that?
Maybe.
Yeah, see, Justin Herbert is, that's what makes that the most attractive job in the league, is that they've got Justin Herbert, who is fifth overall amongst quarterbacks this year in QBR. He is an elite quarterback who just has, his organization has let him down. The last few years, they've let him down because he's a really talented
quarterback.
So, couldn't you make the argument that Bill Belichick with Justin Herbert is?
Well, I'm not ready to say Justin Herbert is Tom
Brady. It has potential. That's why you hire Belichick. But I mean, I would put Bill number three on that list. The first, Harbaugh's number one.
Yeah,
you get him, get him. Pete Carroll's number two, and Bill's number three. My contention is because they're the Chargers, they won't get any of them.
They should get Harbaugh because he brings personality and excitement.
I think this
Belichick's kind of like, ooh.
Harbaugh is either going, I think, to the Chargers or the Raiders.
Right. But
is the Chargers job actually a good job?
Yes.
Not what's on the field with Dean Spanos.
Ownership.
How important is your ownership to being a good job?
You can win in spite of the owner.
Ask
it's not easy, but you can do it.
I'm trying to think of instances.
That didn't work there.
Daniel Snyder,
did not work anywhere.
Well, no.
Bad
ownership. Art Modell, when Art Modell owned the Browns and then he went to Baltimore, he was the owner when they won that first Super Bowl.
Cowboys with Jerry Jones.
Yeah, Jerry
Jones. Cowboys with Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Jones.
He's a good owner, but
he hasn't won
Jimmy
since
Johnson.
The 1900s.
Dan Gilbert in Cleveland is rumored to be just a knucklehead, and LeBron basically said, I don't care. I'm going to win it for my hometown. And he won.
So the Yankees and Steinbrenner?
Yeah, you can do it.
I don't think Steinbrenner's a bad owner.
You don't think so?
No.
Very impetuous. He fired the manager every year for 10 years.
But in the case of Steinbrenner, he was willing to throw everything he possibly could, money, et cetera.
So did Dan Snyder?
Dan Snyder was but Dan Snyder was a bad owner. Worked for Steinbrenner. Mm-hmm. I would argue that, Jones, it hasn't really worked in a long time for Jerry Jones. That's maybe true. This is the year. I don't know.
Maybe this is the year, but I don't.
Right, but the reason, Greg, you brought this up is you would have hesitations if you were one of the coaches to go to work for the Spanos.
Yes, I would have hesitations because you need a good owner. We talk about it all the time, how in different sports, how important, how good it is to go to the Dodgers for different guys, because from top to bottom, it's good ownership all the way down to the bottom, and they play and they do well.
You know,
if you want to go somewhere that actually you're going to do well, Seattle has good ownership. That's a good job.
But Greg, you know who was considered the worst owner before the season started in the NFL? Worse than Spanos was the boy in Houston. And look what
D'Amico Ryan.
Look how he turned that around.
Yeah, you can
with a quarterback.
With a quarterback,
you can win in spite of an owner. What you don't want is a meddlesome owner.
Right.
And Dean is
He's a won't give you the resources
right.
owner.
Dean just kind of isn't overly
he's
supportive.
Cheap.
Yeah.
He's cheap.
But he's not.
Found that on the web.
Huh? He's not Artie Moreno. He's not going around his GM and signing players in the middle of the night.
Right.
That's Dan Snyder.
He's just cheap.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's cheap. Now, in the case of the chart, context is important.
Oh, we forgot Michael Jordan and Jerry Reinsdorf.
Oh, there you go.
Reinsdorf wasn't a player's owner.
Right. So, the thing about the Chargers that makes it a more difficult job that maybe people aren't paying attention to is that they're $60 million over the salary cap right now, which means a lot of the high-priced talent that is on the roster right now is going to exit at some point during this offseason.
Khalil Mack, gone. Joey Khalil Bosa, Mack,
yeah,
gone.
Bosa will be there.
It's Derwin James, who's making more money than Bosa.
Bosa will be there, but he'll be on IL.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
Good for a few games.
He gets hurt more than a 12-year-old's feelings.
He does.
Yeah, and look at Cleveland this year. The Browns are good this year, and Jimmy Haslam, their owner, is considered to be a knucklehead.
Yeah, you can overcome it, I guess. Yeah. I guess it's possible. Hey, so it is, by the way, Michael's here. Is Pepe coming in today?
Oh, yeah, it's his game.
Pepe Mantilla.
It's appropriate lies today. This is a combo play. We're only going till 3.
Yeah, whenever those guys are here, it is the Service Titan Shootaround, all-in-one tech solution for contractors that connects your entire HVAC, electrical, and plumbing operation on a single software platform. Michael, they've actually sponsored when you've come a long way from banned by Bergman to actually sponsored by Service Titan. How about that? We need you here now. All right, let me tell you about Jacob Imrani. So if you're injured in an accident of any kind, rideshare, motorcycle, whatever it happens to be, one of the first calls you get is from the other guy's insurance company. Now, here's the trick. I've been in this spot. You have an accident. It's somebody else's fault. And then the insurance company calls you and they say, yeah, we'll give you XYZ if you just walk away from this. You know what? Don't do it. Don't fall for the trick. They're offering you money to replace or repair your vehicle. But will that cover your medical bills? Will that cover lost wages for time missing work? Safe to say the answer is no. You shouldn't have to pay any money out of your pocket to fix your car or go see the doctor if you're missing work. In turn, it is making your paycheck less than normal, so don't do this to yourself. You know who to call. It's Jacob. He will deal with the insurance company, help with the rental car, schedule your doctor's appointments with nothing coming out of pocket. You don't pay a dime out of pocket while Jacob helps take care of you and gets you the settlement that you deserve. A lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He will win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember,
accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
Call Jacob.com. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Combo play today. It's us till 3, then Shinano and Cap, then Lakers basketball versus the Phoenix Suns tonight at Crypto.com Arena. And, of course, this weekend is Wild Card Weekend. We love talking football with our friend Michelle Smallman from Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, and she joins us right now. The Michelle Smallman, how are you?
I am doing well, guys. Thank you so much for having me, as always. And I'm still processing the past 30-plus hours we've had in the world of sports.
I know. I heard Evan is just devastated by the departure of Bill Belichick.
Right, so, Michelle, settle an argument. If I was a team that needed a coach, like one of these 7 teams, or if I had a mediocre coach, I would absolutely consider Bill Belichick and try and hire him. Mason says, nope, look at the last 3 years. Without Tom Brady, this guy's lost his touch. I don't want anything to do with him. What do you think?
if he was willing to be collaborative with a general manager, which he gave every indication that he would be in his end of season press conference, I would absolutely bring in the best football mind we've seen in the NFL probably ever. I think the general manager, Bill Belichick, was the problem, not necessarily the head coach, Bill Belichick. And everybody that we've talked to in and around this situation says from a tactician standpoint, he still got it. And this is somebody who I think will be more motivated than ever, which I think is saying something, to go out there and prove something. He's got the all-time wins record that he's still chasing. And I think wherever he goes next, he's definitely going to want to make a statement that he's still got it. So if I was one of these places that was kind of a turnkey situation, I would absolutely give Bill.
See, if I was New England, I'd be... If I was a New England fan, I'd be like, yeah, that's enough. 29 and 38 over the last 4 years. Let's move on. Let's do the next thing.
Right.
But I would not bet on a guy who's had four bad years and who happens, not that it's age necessarily. He's not going to coach forever, but he's 72, I think.
Yeah, sounds mm-hmm. right.
All these guys are retiring in that range, 72.
Yeah.
Do you bet on a guy who's 72 and hasn't had a winning season in 4 years?
Well, Michelle, on that point, I think Pete Carroll should come to the Chargers because the Chargers desperately need relevance, and Pete is a rock star in L.A. from his time at USC. I mean, Michelle, I know you don't live here, but to put things in perspective, we never – talk about the Chargers, and neither does anyone else. Neither does any of the TV stations, any of the radio stations. They're like an afterthought. If they hired Pete, we'd have to cover him because Pete is like the Pied Piper here. He does tons of stuff. Pete used to go into the most gang-infested parts of the city and bring like the Bloods and the Crips together.
Yeah, he's got that Better LA Foundation.
And he's a good coach. Yeah. So what do you think of that, Pete Carroll of the Chargers?
Oh, I think that's a brilliant idea. You're right. Not only would it bring them relevancy that they desperately need, he's already ingrained in the area and the community, but they've got a quarterback, and I think that he would know exactly what to do with Justin Herbert. I keep saying that even though the Chargers organization doesn't really go out there and spend money, they need to make Jim Harbaugh an offer that he can't refuse.
Yeah,
and
I agree with you.
Everything we just said. Like, they need relevancy so desperately. They have a quarterback. And Jim Harbaugh is the guy. He's at the peak of his career. He's had success in the NFL. He has been in California. We would talk about Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers all the time, and he loves Justin Herbert. I don't think that they'll do it, but to me, if you were going to go out there and get one guy for the Chargers, why wouldn't you take your biggest and best shot at Jim Harbaugh?
They should, and we just said right before you came on, if they hired Harbaugh, Pete, or Belichick, it would be a home run hire, and I bet you they don't hire any of the three. I think they're going to screw it up. But here, let's get to the games, because the one game we care the most about is Rams at Lions. Mason is a huge Rams fan. He is a season ticket holder.
Yes!
He is confident.
They are going to rip their hearts out.
I would say, Michelle, he's overconfident that the Rams are going to win this game. But having said that, right now the spread is Lions by 3. If I had to bet this game, I would take the Rams and the points. How about you?
All right. Well, you know that I am a notorious Rams hater.
Right, because you're from St. Louis.
Correct. But even I can't deny how impressive the Rams have been down the stretch. And I think this is one of the hardest games to handicap this week. But with all that being said, I am going to hate on the Rams here. Oh. I'm so sick of everybody talking about Matt Stafford's return to Detroit. What's the Jared Goff redemption game? What is the fact that Detroit has been really good at home this season? Mm-hmm. They're 6-2 at home this season. This is the first time Detroit is hosting a home playoff game since the 90s.
Yes.
So even though the Rams have been really good, and I think this is going to be an unbelievable game, give me Detroit. I think Detroit's going to cover.
Oh, Michelle. This is so sad.
All right.
You've let your rooting interest affect your prediction capabilities.
Well, she's coming on next week, so somebody, either you or her.
Trust me, Michelle. Sunday, that's a game I feel the surest about. In fact, give me 10,000. We don't have a lot of money. Give me 10,000 mythical dollars on the Rams plus the 3.
All right, good for you. All right, Michelle, first game out of the gate. Browns, the road team, are favored by 2 at Houston. What's the right side of that game?
I love the Texans, as the home underdog in this game. I know that the Browns have a really staunch defense, but when I go back to that game that they had earlier in the season where the Browns beat the Texans 36-22, I believe that was on Christmas Eve, they didn't have C.J. Stroud in that game. And I think that he is going to be the X factor. He's obviously been amazing this season. Cleveland also has an NFL high 37 turnovers, which I think could be the difference in this game. So give me the Texans and the points.
So I was looking at Pro Football Focus. Do you realize that the number one unit, if you take like every defense, every offense in the league, the number one rated unit is the Cleveland defense.
Yeah, they've been great.
They've been fantastic. Been great
all year. Hey, Michelle, how about the Ice Bowl game? It's supposed to be 0 degrees in Kansas City. Chiefs favored by 4.5 over the visiting Dolphins. Who do you like?
Oh, I absolutely like the Chiefs in this game. I think the Chiefs are going to cover the weather. As you said, the Ice Bowl is supposed to be absolutely bananas. And Miami has been on fraud alert for me all season long. I think the Chiefs are going to smoke the Dolphins in this game.
Wow. Okay, that's a big one.
So here's my mythical money bet.
Okay.
$5,000 on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, no way.
And the reason I'm doing it, Michelle, is I get 10 points. 10. Buffalo's good, but they're not beating them by 10. I'm taking Pittsburgh. What do you think?
I love that play for you because that's too many points for me. Even though I think Buffalo will win this game, nobody messes up a game like Mike Tomlin. That's far too many points for me, so I'm with you on this one.
All right. The other one is another, you know, one the NFL scripted. Green Bay facing Mike McCarthy, their old head coach, and the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas, I've got them as a 7-point favorite right now at Cowboy Stadium. What do you like?
This is the hardest one for me because I really love the Packers this season. I love Jordan Love. I love the way the Packers closed out the season. They're such a young team, and they have already hit their ceiling, so to speak, this year. Like, they don't have anything else to prove. Heading into this season, they just had to prove that Jordan Love was the guy and that they made the right decision moving on from Aaron Rodgers. And that, to me, makes them really dangerous, that they really have nothing to lose. All the pressure is on Dallas. But they have been so dominant at home this season. They've outscored teams at home. I was just looking this up before I went on with you. They've outscored teams at home by over 170 points this season. So even though my heart wants me to pick Green Bay, I'm going to surrender the 7. I'm going to take the Cowboys at home.
All right, last one, Michelle, and I think this is the hardest game to pick. The Eagles on Monday night have lost 5 of their last 6 games. Even though the game's in Tampa, the Eagles are favored by 3. How would you bet that one?
I don't think this one is that hard at all. Philly is so banged up. Jalen Hurts just came out and said today that he hasn't thrown a football since he hurt his finger last week. And he was basically talking about the challenges that that's going to provide him this weekend, saying that when you have a finger out of place, it's pretty hard to play quarterback. I also have absolutely no faith in the Philly secondary.
Really? So you're taking Tampa?
I'm going to take Tampa. I think this is a big game for Mike Evans. If you're giving me the 3 points, I'm going to take the Bucks.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Now, today, I know you kind of held Evan together emotionally. Is he going to be okay for tomorrow with Belichick leaving the Patriots, or is he going to need like a bereavement day?
That's actually a good call. We may need to be on high alert for Evan to call out tomorrow, and I really give him all the credit in the world to be able to summon the strength to finish the show today. I don't know if you guys saw the clip at all. He announced it, and I gasped because I was waiting for his reaction, and he got a little misty-eyed. He's going to deny it, but if you roll back the tape, you're going to see it glisten in his eye, and he did get really emotional. Evan loves Bill Belichick like he was a member of his family. Like, there is a seat at the table in the Cohen household for Bill Belichick, and he was really torn up by this, that it's the end of an era. It's the end of Evan's football fandom, potentially in New England, because he's a front runner.
Wow.
So wherever Bill Belichick goes, Evan might jump ship from the Patriots and go along with the next team, whether it's Atlanta or wherever he chooses to go. So it was a very emotional day for him. It was quite fascinating to watch it go down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, we will be listening, watching tomorrow for Evan's glistening eyes as he continues to talk about the departure of Bill Belichick from the New England Patriots. Tomorrow on Sportsmanlike, we'll hear it right here. Evan Canty and Michelle on 710 ESPN. Michelle, thanks for coming out. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks as always for having me, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right, there's Michelle Smallman, brought to you by Prize Picks, the largest and number one daily fantasy sports platform in North America. New members, go to prizepicks.com/710. Use code 710 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. All right, going to spin the wheel of questions next, plus a tweet from Shams Charania that I want to bounce off of Michael Thompson. It's the Service Titan shoot around right now. Service Titan, the all-in-one tech solution for contractors that connect you, your entire HVAC, electrical, and plumbing operation on a single software platform. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Okay, this is, I admit up front, this is absurd.
Okay, right? Does anybody die?
Death.
No. Okay,
no
good.
Death.
Woo. No death.
Good. Okay. You guys all know who J.J. Watt is, right?
Sure.
Okay, J.J. retired, is the same size, same height and weight roughly, as T.J., his brother.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram, he photoshopped his head onto T.J.'s body.
Hmm.
And it occurred to me, he said under the caption, "Would anybody notice?" Suggesting that if J.J. Watt put on a Steelers uniform, put on all the pads, put on a helmet with a face guard, like a visor, so you couldn't see his eyes.
Right.
How would he get caught? That's the question. How would he get caught impersonating his brother? He never takes his helmet off the whole game.
So the whole time, locker room,
nobody
ever sees him with his helmet off.
Correct. The Steelers are in on it, obviously, but nobody else knows. He puts his helmet on. He runs out onto the field, mm-hmm. Michael.
I would know.
How would you know?
Because JJ's old and TJ's young and fast and quick.
Well, the other thing is they don't look all that much alike.
No, but wouldn't
not
at all.
The same size.
No, they're not. I thought JJ was a lot bigger than TJ. No, TJ sort of was a small edge rusher.
But JJ says they're the same size.
He lost weight. He must have lost a lot of weight.
I guess so. Brian, how would they get caught?
I don't think they do.
You think they pull that off?
Yeah, come on.
If he repeatedly doesn't get to the quarterback, maybe that suggests it's not.
He'll Greg,
get
there. How come do on. They get caught?
He's going to break a knee when he tries to go around the edge.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's injury prone. That's who the guy is.
Laura,
at this point.
How do they get
and
caught?
He's not a twin.
There's a lot of crazy people that know very specific things about people, so I think just one crazy person.
And by the way,
Mace, how do they get caught?
Teammates would know at a glance that that's not
teammates
him.
Are in on it.
Teammates are in on
it. No, fans would know.
He would not play as well as his brother, and it would stick
well,
out.
He's a Hall of Fame player.
I know, but he's not. No. He's not going to get to the quarterback.
No, he's not a player anymore.
He's not. You don't go from the TV booth to the quarterback in one fell swoop.
Right. So, Michael, have you ever heard this story? There were two twins in the 70s in the NBA.
So there are four of them?
Tom and Dick Van Arsdale.
Two twins.
Oh, yeah, okay? The Van Arsdale twins.
All right, one played for Atlanta, mm-hmm. one played for Phoenix. Mm-hmm. They made the All-Star team, both of them.
Okay.
At halftime, they didn't tell anybody. They met in a room and switched jerseys.
Wow.
And played for the – so each of them played a half with the West and the East. And no one ever knew.
No one figured it out.
Because they're identical
But they were
twins.
Identical twins.
TJ and JJ are not twins.
There's a vague resemblance, but it's not like a hardcore resemblance between the two.
But basically, with a helmet on, with a visor, with a shaded visor,
JJ
could you tell?
Yes, JJ can't play anymore.
You don't know that.
Wait a minute. So hang on a second.
TJ's hurt, so you would just say it's his injury.
But hang on a second. You're saying put a helmet on him with a visor so nobody can see his face.
Because he can't see his eyes.
Well, you could put anybody in that situation and anybody
put
of
a mask
that size,
on.
Put a mask on and it's...
Right, but my suggestion here is that JJ could play well enough where you would think it was TJ.
I don't think he's there.
No. He can't play well enough.
I don't think he's coming off the couch and playing like his brother.
No, come on, Aaron.
Well, but we would just say
this
the announcer.
Golf.
You don't just you don't just say, take off your headset.
No, the announcers would say, "Well, TJ doesn't look like himself tonight, but he's coming off that injury."
Yeah. By the way, he's not himself tonight.
He's not.
He's
playing.
Literally not himself.
TJ's not playing.
Right.
They've announced he's out.
Yeah.
But if they just changed his injury designation and said, "You know what, TJ Watt's feeling better. He's going to play." And then he runs out there, and he's got a helmet on, he's got a visor. How do they get caught? That's what I want to know.
Well, TJ's a lot quicker and more athletic than JJ ever was. He's like a white version of Michael
Parsons.
If
I was announcing that game, I'd say, you know, TJ's a little slow tonight. That injury must be bothering him. Leg
injury. Oh, there
injury.
You go.
Sure. Yeah, to fool people, right.
Yeah.
But I think, Brian, I'm with you. You know me, I love conspiracy theories. I think it would work, and then it would come out after the fact.
It's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
I told you it was good. Ridiculous.
That's what Wheel of Questions is for.
You know what it's time for?
What?
The horse.
Oh, Pepe's here. Come on in, Pepe.
But do the Don Rickles introduction music.
I don't think they have it.
Come on.
I don't think we have Mr. Wonderful introduction.
Oh,
no.
I love that.
Do we have the introduction for... Hang on. Hit it again. The horse. There you go. The great Pepe Mantilla.
Where does Pepe hang out?
Yeah. Pepe Mantilla.
He really likes Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Pepe,
oh,
yeah.
Man. Now, by the way, Pepe, many, many people are looking forward to seeing you Monday at Ralph's in Redondo Beach. I hope you can
people
make
are
a,
going to,
even, even a short appearance would be appropriate.
We are.
Michael? Is Michael going to come?
Mike. Yeah.
Where's Ralph's?
In Redondo
Beach.
Oh, too far.
Yeah. Pepe, we're counting on you. It's we're promoting it. Join Mason, Ireland, Pepe, Derek Fisher, and Machine for live show.
It's close to your house,
People
Pepe.
People are more excited, Pepe, to see you than they are to see us.
They just want to see you wave to them.
Hi, everybody.
After a big build-up, that's what you say?
Send me the address and cut the BS, please.
All right.
Okay. Let me get... Actually, you know, this is good. We got What's Up Fool coming on next, but I'll give you the information right now, Pepe. So here's the deal. We're on the streets of the city of Redondo Beach on Monday, 1 o'clock. We're doing the show live from Ralph's from 1 to 4. It's thanks to our friends at BBGO. You can meet Lakers legends Derek Fisher and Sasha Vujacic, Machine, plus Pepe Mantilla. Win what are being described as fabulous prizes.
Yeah, they're giving away BBGO swag. They're giving away Lakers stuff. And if you buy $10 worth of BBGO and send the receipt to Lakers.com/BBGO sweeps, you're entered to win courtside seats.
Amazing.
So we rarely give away this much stuff, and we don't do that many remotes anymore.
No.
So if you want to see us and meet us in person, come to Ralph's in Redondo Beach, 1 o'clock on Monday.
1413 Hawthorne Boulevard in Redondo Beach. Are you in, Pepe?
I will try.
See.
I will try. Excellent. We'll go with that.
By the way, so my friend Jake just texted me that you guys remember Gary Pettis, the Angels
outfielder?
I think he's a coach in baseball now.
He's a great defensive outfielder.
They told him that the next day they were taking pictures for baseball cards.
Yeah.
You know, and his brother was in town. So as a joke, his brother put his uniform on and took the picture. And so this card is...
The baseball card is not him.
Has become valuable because it's not
him. Oh, that's
him.
Funny. Wow. That's funny.
That's like Billy Ripken, Cal Ripken's brother.
Had somebody F-U.
Somebody wrote F-U on the bottom of his bat, and no one noticed. And then the cards were printed.
And they're very valuable
now. And
now
very valuable because after they noticed it, they stopped printing those cards.
Yeah, your collection is not complete till you have a Billy Ripken F-U card. All right, coming up next for you, going to do some What's Up, Fool? It is... The Service Titan Shoot Around. Pepe Michael here, 710 ESPN.
The horse.